You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll be looking back at last night's Europa League action. Arsenal, Manchester United and Wolves all in action with differing levels of results for them. We'll also be looking ahead to the Premier League action this weekend, the final games before the international break. We'll be focusing on Leicester, West Ham and Brighton. We'll also be giving our predictions. How will we do this week? Laurie's got a long way to catch up to me, so can he rescue some points this week? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to get through in the next hour. As I mentioned, we're going to be looking back at last night's Europa League action, also looking ahead to the Premier League weekend. So many storylines to follow over this Premier League weekend as we build into an international break, usually a time when teams pull the plug, they pull the trigger, and they make sackings. So who is on the hot seat? Who could potentially be going? If you think your manager could be on the way out after this game during that international break, call us on 0208 70 20 558. Is it Marco Silva that is the next gone? How much pressure is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer under? And can Mauricio Pochettino's Tottenham respond after an embarrassment? Everyone has been laughing at Tottenham throughout this week since their 7-2 loss against Bayern Munich. How will they respond away at Brighton? We'll be getting the Brighton perspective later this hour. Does it feel like a golden opportunity for the Seagulls to get some points this weekend against Tottenham, considering the result they had in midweek? Just a quick update from the World Cup. One game took place today and it was a very, very easy victory for the Springboks, and South Africa won by 49 points to 3 against Italy and go top of that group. So an easy win for South Africa. Chesney Nkolbe scored twice. Bongi Mbanambi, Lukanya Am, Makazole Mapimpi, Arji Schneeman and Malcolm Marks with those tries. So an easy win for South Africa. They lost to New Zealand in their opening group stage game, but they have responded in emphatic style with two bonus point victories against Namibia and Italy. Let's look back then at last night's Europa League action. 5 British sides in total in action, 3 of which, of course, are English at the Emirates. It was an easy victory for Arsenal. They ran out 4-0 winners against Standard Liège. They were 3-0 up inside 25 minutes. Martinelli, the young Brazilian 18-year-old, scored twice for Arsenal. It also saw the likes of Kieran Tierney get a first start for Arsenal as he works his way back from a hernia injury. An easy win then for Arsenal, who make it 2 wins from 2 in their group. They beat Eintracht Frankfurt 3-0 away in the first game, and an easy win for them last night. Then on to Manchester United. They played over in Holland. Things not going particularly well for Manchester United. They're in a right old hole at the moment, in a dire situation, and they drew 0-0 over against AZ Alkmaar. Obviously not playing at AZ Alkmaar's home ground after their roof collapsed. They were playing at Ardo Den Haag's stadium. Manchester United failed to register a shot on target. They're now winless in their last 10 away games. And yet, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer came out after the game and said that it was a positive result and a decent result for them. They beat Astana only 1-0 in their first game. That just shows how far Manchester United have fallen, how the mighty have fallen, that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is now regarding a 0-0 draw away at AZ Alkmaar as a decent result. Utterly ludicrous. And the fact they couldn't even register a shot on target just shows how much work Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has got to do. The big question of them all, though, is that will Ole Gunnar Solskjaer be that man to take them through and to get them back to where they were a decade ago? I don't think he is. I think he'll be gone by Christmas. But any Manchester United fans out there, if you think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the man to rescue Manchester United, or does he need to go, call us on 08 70 20 558. I remember back in March when Manchester United beat PSG in a dramatic turnaround in the Champions League. Rio Ferdinand, former Manchester United defender, a Manchester United great, said, give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the contract now. Give him the job. I don't think he's saying that 6 months down the line. Manchester United were too rash. They made an emotional decision, and that has backfired massively on them. And they are in a right old pickle. And Sunday's game away at Newcastle, what a game that is. There's so much to talk about with that game. And I'm sure on Monday afternoon here on the Premier League Fan Show, we'll have plenty to be delving into with that one. Because Newcastle, it feels like Steve Bruce is under already significant pressure from the Newcastle faithful. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is under huge amounts of pressure. Steve Bruce has said it is a wonderful time to play Manchester United. Paul Pogba will not make the trip to St. James's Park. And that one, whatever happens, win for Newcastle, win for Manchester United, or a draw, there is going to be so much to take away from that game. And could we see one of those managers sacked during the international break if they lose? The final English side in action were Wolves. They were over in Turkey against Beşiktaş, and a late winner for them saw 1-0. They lost against Braga at home in their first game by 1-0. But they continued their impressive away record in the Europa League this season. They won all three of their games away from home in the qualifiers, and they won again last night over in Turkey against Beşiktaş. A late goal, and that will give them a huge amount of confidence. The last week has been much better for Wolves after a pretty torrid start to the league season. They won 2-0 against Watford last weekend, and a 1-0 win last night. Things not exactly particularly easy ahead of their next game. They travel to the Etihad to take on Manchester City, who are in rampant form, scoring goals galore at the moment. So not an easy game for Wolves on Sunday. We'll be predicting those later in the hour, but some confidence gained for Wolves. The other two British sides in action for Celtic, they were hosting a side that knocked them out of the Champions League qualifiers only a matter of months ago, CFR Cluj. But a 2-0 win in the driving rain up in Scotland meant that Celtic got the win after their 1-1 draw in Rennes in the first game of the group stages. For Rangers, despair at the end for Steven Gerrard's side. They looked like they were going to secure a 1-1 draw away at Young Boys, but the home side scored a late winner to make it 2-1. Rangers beat Feyenoord in their first game. Shea Ojo's goal gave them the win on that night, but they couldn't register their second win from two in their second game. So mixed fortunes for all of the British sides. If you want to get in contact about your club in Europa League action or in Champions League action this week, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Obviously, we'll be looking at the Premier League action to come this weekend. We'll be focusing on Leicester, West Ham and Brighton. So fans of those clubs, make sure you call us this afternoon. Just giving you a brief overview of all the games to come this weekend. The 12:30 kickoff tomorrow, the first game of the Premier League weekend. Brighton host Tottenham. How much pressure is Mauricio Pochettino and his side under after their drubbing against Bayern Munich in midweek? It was embarrassing for Tottenham fans. Listening to the Tottenham Fan Show last night here on Love Sport, they were pretty scathing of the players, more so actually the Tottenham fans on the show. And they've got a big big response that the fans will be demanding from their side. Then onto the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Burnley up against Everton is Marco Silva's time running out, as the Everton manager spent a huge amount of money, given the backing by Farhan Moshiri over the last couple of years. But is Marco Silva on the verge of losing his job going into this international break? Will a defeat at Turf Moor spell the end? A great game in prospect at Anfield. Cannot believe it is not on television this weekend. Liverpool up against Leicester. Liverpool, 7 wins from 7, 16 on the trot going back into last season. One of the biggest tests so far of the season comes against Leicester, who have been one of the informed sides at the start of this season. Brendan Rodgers makes his first return to Anfield 4 years to the day today that he lost his job as a Liverpool manager after a 1-1 draw against Everton. Another of the 3 o'clock kickoffs at Carrow Road between two newly promoted sides. Norwich take on Aston Villa. Then to Vicarage Road is Watford versus Sheffield United, who've made an impressive start on the road in the Premier League on their return to the top flight. And then the 5:30 kickoff, a London derby, West Ham take on Crystal Palace. West Ham starting the weekend 5th in the Premier League table, so a good start for them. Then on to Sunday, we have 4 games for you. Arsenal take on Bournemouth at the Emirates. Arsenal obviously involved. It will be 3 games in 6 days, so a real test of Unai Emery's squad on Sunday. Manchester City host Wolves. Obviously, Manchester City have scored more goals in the last 5 games than Manchester United have scored since Ole Gunnar Solskjaer took over. That just shows one of the massive differences between City and United. Southampton take on Chelsea. And then the final game of the weekend that we have also mentioned, Newcastle up against Manchester United. So much to take from that game at St James's Park. Monday is certainly going to be an enjoyable show indeed. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking all things Leicester.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. So much interest in the Premier League as we build up to the second international break of this season. It does feel a bit frustrating that this is only the 8th game of the season, and yet we've already had 2 international breaks. But it's the same every single year, and all the managers know that. So we'll just have to wait and see as to how all the sides react. Actually, the toughest game is the game straight off the international break. And it also depends on where your players have been playing, how far they've travelled, how much game time they've had during the international break, and how quickly you play after the international break. You're probably hoping you're playing on the Sunday, not on the Saturday post an international break. So many interesting storylines, though, from this weekend, and what we could be talking about next week. Could Marco Silva lose his job at Everton? Could Ole Gunnar Solskjaer lose his job at Manchester United? Will Pochettino still be at Tottenham for much longer? If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're going to talk about a fantastic game in store at Anfield tomorrow. No idea why it's not on television, but anyway, Liverpool versus Leicester. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Anfield tomorrow. And to get the Leicester perspective, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Lee Chappie from the 100 LCFC podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lee. In store for us tomorrow, we've got a great game between the side that's top of the table, 7 wins from 7, and a team, in your team, in the form of Leicester, who've made a very, very impressive start, and some people are tipping to get into the top 4 this season.
Yeah, they are looking better and better week in, week out, Leicester. I think the weekend coming up, I think it should have been a televised one, for the neutrals, because it's a massive clash, really. I mean, this game could affect Liverpool's title run. I can only see an exciting game at the weekend. I can't see a bore fest. After the Champions League fixture with Salzburg with 4-3, I fancy Leicester to potentially put some goals away as well.
A lot of people, Lee, have been suggesting that, especially with the likes of Manchester United and Arsenal and even Tottenham not in the best of form at the moment, that Leicester could be the side that makes that break, not into the top 6, into the top 4. What's your view on that? Is it perhaps too early to be suggesting they can get a Champions League spot, or does that just sum up the ambition that Leicester currently have, that they don't just believe they can get top 6, they believe they can sneak into that top 4?
Yeah, definitely. I've spoke about this on air before about the ambition from the owners. And I think now the fans are behind it as well. You know, when Claude Puel was here, you didn't see any personality on or off the pitch. And I think that's what the fans just weren't connected with what was going on. And I think that's why a lot of fans were 50-50 on Puel, and then nearer to the end, a lot of fans wanted him out. I think it was because there's just no connection with the fans. And now, down at King Power Stadium, all the players and that huddle before the game, after the game, no matter what the result, win or loss, you know, and that's only good signs. I really am excited for the weekend fixture.
It will certainly be quite an emotional, quite a big day for Brendan Rodgers. It's 4 years to the day today that he lost his job at Liverpool. It's the first time that he has been back to Anfield as a manager in a game. How big an occasion will it be for Brendan Rodgers? And do you think that how it ended at Liverpool will serve as a motivation for him to go and get 3 points at his old club?
Yeah, again, I can't actually remember the main reason why he was sacked, but was it to do with the too many transfers? There was like 30-odd transfers, weren't there, at some point?
Well, I mean, after Luis Suarez left, obviously, Liverpool spent a lot of that money and a number of those signings didn't work out, and the atmosphere had gone completely flat, and he had lost the fans, and he was sacked around the Merseyside derby, and the infamous Thierry Henry putting his hand on Jamie Carragher's lap when the news was announced. But do you think that Brendan Rodgers will look back at his time at Liverpool? Because he did lead Liverpool to that second place where they nearly won the title. Do you think he will look back fondly and actually be happy with his time at Liverpool? Or do you think he'll be looking and thinking maybe he was hard done by to get the sack and therefore motivated to get all 3 points?
Look, Liverpool Football Club are one of, if not the biggest clubs in Europe, you know, next to some of the big names like Manchester United. So to manage a team like that and you know, have, even though he's probably had a bad sacking, but probably the end of his run wasn't the greatest, I still think he's going to go to Anfield humbled. I think the fans are going to, Liverpool fans are still going to probably, you know, not cheer him, but I think they'll welcome him there. I don't think he's going to get any hostility from the fans. But I do think he'll want to go there and prove that he's still top flight manager. And I think top flight club.
One man that's been in pretty fine form for Leicester at the start of this season is James Maddison. He is set to be past fit for the game. He missed the Newcastle game due to injury, but he's going to be back fit for tomorrow. I wanted to get your views on him, but also comments that surprised me completely from Gareth Southgate, saying he couldn't guarantee that he'll play in the England qualifiers. For me, he is one of England's best three midfielders at the moment, and he should be starting. What's your view on Southgate's comments?
Again, I don't understand why you would have him in the squad if you're not going to play him. He's one of our key players. He's had an assist and goals galore under his wing now of Leicester. I can only see bigger things for him. Probably, I don't want to say Leicester's a stepping stone for him, but I can see him going to a bigger club than Leicester at some point in his career. He's still a young lad. Mind you, a lot of the Leicester players are young lads. Southgate really needs to open his eyes for me.
One man that has been talking about actually how he rejected a move to Liverpool back in 2016 is Ben Chilwell, who for me at the moment is the best left-back that England have. He's one of the best left-backs in the Premier League. How highly do you rate him? And a bit like Maddison, is there the slight concern that if they play too well, then kind of big European sides will come after these types of players?
I think that's always the case, isn't it? When you're a fan of, I'd say, an established top 10 sort of side, like Southampton got picked apart by Liverpool on the odd, you know, seasons. I think you're always watching your shoulder, always watching your shoulder as a fan of one of the, say, the top 10 teams. But Ben Chilwell is a phenomenal player. I think he's still got some learning to do. He does get caught out in positioning. But I think he's got Christian Fuchs to help him with that at the, you know, the Leicester squad in training and stuff, because Fuchs is a very experienced left back. But since Ben Chilwell's been playing for England, I think he's matured so quick from when he first had his Leicester debut to where he is now. And he's only getting better.
What, in your view, Lee, do Leicester need to do in order to get get a positive result at Anfield. Leicester head into the game third place on 14 points. As we've mentioned, they've made an impressive start. How do Leicester go about ending Liverpool's winning run of not just 7 games at the start of this season, but 16 if you go back into last season?
Yeah, I think, well, Liverpool passed the ball around 700 odd times against Salzburg on Wednesday night. And I think Salzburg only had about 30% possession, but still got 3 goals. I think if we can just probably stop them from passing the ball around as much and get a bit more possession out of it, I think we could hurt them, to be honest with you. Jamie Vardy's got a fantastic record against Liverpool. I think he's got 9 games and 7 goals in 9. I think it's actually 5 in the 7 goals are in actually 5 games he's played against them. But it's 7 goals in 9 appearances against Liverpool, though he's never beat Liverpool at Anfield.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lee. That was Lee Chappie from the 100 LCFC podcast, talking us through that massive game at Anfield tomorrow. It is Liverpool versus Leicester, a 3 o'clock kickoff, as I've been mentioning and Lee mentioned. Can't quite understand why it's not televised this weekend, but sure to be a fantastic encounter. First versus third. Liverpool looking for their 17th straight win in the Premier League. Leicester have made an impressive start, currently third in the table. One of the other games tomorrow afternoon, 5:30 kickoff, at a London derby, West Ham against Crystal Palace. We're going to get the West Ham perspective now from Dan Lawless from West Ham Fan TV. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dan. Are these the types of games? Obviously, maybe you'd count the kind of top 6 London sides as bigger games, but does this still represent a big game for you in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, we always look forward to the Crystal Palace games. There's usually a lot of goals in it, good bit of atmosphere. It's 5:30 kickoff. The fans going to be up for it. You know, they'll have a few drinks down them. And I think it's going to be fun to watch as well for the neutral. Like I said, there's going to be goals in it. So, yeah, I'm up for it.
West Ham have made a pretty good start to the season, actually. They currently are 5th going into this Premier League weekend. They're level on points with Arsenal, who are 4th. Just a couple of points of Leicester. And a lot of people have been talking about Leicester at the start of the season, how impressive they've been. But how impressive have the Hammers been at the start of this season?
Yeah, I mean, look, you scratched that first game against Man City out of the way. You know, we've been undefeated in 6 games. So, you know, very impressive. But what I like is that we are going under the radar and the talk has been on Leicester because it just takes away a bit of that expectation of us. We can just carry on picking up points. No one really talking about us. And yeah, I mean, it's been really impressive because when you compare the start to last season when we lost 4 on the spin, you know, I'm loving it.
How big a blow, though, is the injury to Lucas Fabianski? Because in the last 3 games, West Ham have kept 2 out of 3 clean sheets, but he's going to be out for at least 2 months with a torn hip muscle. How significant a blow is he going to be? And do you think that Roberto, who signed from Espanyol over the summer, is an adequate enough goalkeeper to replace him?
I mean, geez, that Fabianski injury hurt because he's been phenomenal. He's, to us, you know, we see him as one of the best keepers in the league, without a doubt. I mean, you know, you look at his stats and he's pulled off some big saves for us. And to lose him, I mean, Roberto, he's got a big job to do. And there's a lot of fans, you know, who've got big question marks over Roberto. You know, that Oxford game where we lost 4-0, he was the keeper. And a few of them, you know, all goals, he didn't even dive. So, however, this is a chance to step up. And I think usually, you know, when you're thrown in the deep end like that, then you find out what a player's made of. So we're just going to try and support him, see how he goes. But it's still nervy in that department, I think, for us. So fingers crossed he can step up.
West Ham continued their unbeaten run last Saturday in a 2-2 draw against Bournemouth. Do you think people saw a different side to West Ham, that they were able to grind out a point when they were behind? They nearly went 3-1 down when Nathan Ake's goal was disallowed, but they came back from behind to draw that game. So does that show a bit of character about Manuel Pellegrini's side that we may not have seen before?
Yeah, definitely, because, like, you know, you look at last season or nearly every season since we've moved stadiums, it's been as soon as we go a goal down, it's pretty much game over and we're never coming back. And then when you go, you know, you concede another and we just never seem to come back. And this time, like you said, we're showing that character this time. And Bournemouth, you know, they're on a good run of form themselves, and it's never a good place to go to for us, Bournemouth. So, you know, I was really happy with that point and to see the boys do it. And then when you go on, we could have got a winner. We came very close to coming and winning that game. So, yeah, that was positive to see. So, like you said, the character seems to be there this season.
One man that's been in impressive form for West Ham, and I'm sure lots of fancy football owners may be looking to get him into their team, Andrei Yarmolenko, 3 goals in his last 4 Premier League appearances. Obviously, his season last season, his first season, was cut short by quite a serious injury. But how impressed with him have you been at the start of this season?
Yeah, massively, because when you look at it, like, I feel like we're not even seeing him at his full, you know, his full level yet, his full ability, because, you know, being out for nearly a full season, it's not easy to come back from that, you know. And he did, you know, early on he sort of started a bit slow and he's been warming into the games, but to be able to be, you know, banging 3 goals and just look like a threat in every game, I've been massively impressed. So hopefully as he gets that fitness, as it keeps improving, we're just going to see more and more quality for him, and hopefully he can just score a lot of goals for us. He's got the ability, so I'm excited for Yarmolenko, big time.
Looking ahead then to tomorrow afternoon's game, it is a home game against Crystal Palace. West Ham are unbeaten in the past 8 league encounters, winning 4 of them and drawing 4 of them. So does that show the recent record points towards another 3 points for West Ham tomorrow? Is it going to be slightly more challenging than that?
I'm confident. Like, I'm confident. I'm not usually one of these fans that go into every game thinking we're gonna smash every team. But, you know, like you said, the record, we have a good record against Palace. They haven't really, apart from Zaha, they haven't got too many threats attacking-wise. Like we have, obviously, we've got Sebastian Allaire, Yarmolenko, Lanzini, Anderson. So we can really hurt Palace. And I think if we start off on the front foot, you know, I can't see why we don't go and win this. You know, I had it down as 3-2 because I think it will be a high-scoring game. We've got Roberto, so I don't think we'll keep that clean sheet. But I think we'll outscore them definitely.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Dan. That was Dan Lawless from West Ham Fan TV. Looking ahead to West Ham's game tomorrow afternoon, it's a 5:30 kickoff against Crystal Palace at the London Stadium. As I mentioned, West Ham unbeaten in the last 8 league meetings between the two sides, winning 4 and drawing 4. West Ham are on a good little run at the moment, unbeaten in a number of games. They're currently 5th in the table after 7 games, around 12 points, which is the same number of points as Arsenal. And also, I mentioned at the beginning of the chat with Dan about the chat about Leicester, the rhetoric about Leicester City so far this season is how they're a side that really genuinely can push into the top 4. Many are tipping them to finish in a Champions League spot. And yet they're only 2 points ahead of West Ham, and there's a very different rhetoric. Now, I personally think there is quite a difference between Leicester and West Ham. I think Leicester are significantly better than West Ham. You compare the two 11s. West Ham's attack is probably on a level par with Leicester's. But in terms of an overall team, I think you'd have to say Leicester's is quite a bit better than West Ham, particularly defensively. You compare the two fullbacks, Ben Chilwell and Ricardo Pereira, compared to what Cresswell, Masuaku, and then Fredericks right back. There is quite a big difference there. But there does seem to be a very different approach towards how Leicester started compared to West Ham. And yet, only 2 points between them. West Ham on the same number of points as Arsenal, and a point ahead of Tottenham and Chelsea, 3 points ahead of Manchester United. That just shows, even though those sides are massively underperforming, perhaps not so much Chelsea because they're still in that transitional phase under Frank Lampard, but those sides are underperforming. But West Ham have made a solid start to the season, and you would imagine that West Ham will win again tomorrow, but the Premier League is the Premier League because it brings up shocks every single weekend. And just as you think you can predict something, Something completely random comes up. And that's West Ham against Crystal Palace tomorrow afternoon at the London Stadium, 5:30 kickoff. The Hammers starting the weekend in 5th place in the Premier League table. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. Up next, we'll be talking all things Brighton.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get your views heard on your club, start the season or the weekend fixture ahead for your team, call us on 0208 7020 558. And we're going to talk about what is probably a very, very significant game, more so for the away side in this game. It's a 12:30 kickoff at the Amex Stadium. It's Brighton against Tottenham. We're going to get the home perspective now from Andy Naylor, Brighton reporter for The Athletic. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Andy. After Tottenham's 7-2 defeat against Bayern Munich in midweek. Is this which way do you look at it? Is it a golden opportunity for Brighton to get some points from this game, or a game that Brighton fans will actually be quite fearful about what sort of a reaction that might be seen by the Tottenham players?
Well, I think that's the unknown ingredient, isn't it? Just how Tottenham are going to react to that mauling by Bayern. You would suspect there is going to be a reaction from them after such a heavy defeat. And they did well to win at home last Saturday when they were down to 10 men against Southampton. So I would certainly expect to see some response from Spurs at the Amex. Brighton, bear in mind, haven't won at home since March. But then again, Spurs haven't won away in the Premier League since January. So perhaps something's got to give.
Graham Potter said in his press conference about the fact that he was at the Tottenham game in midweek, said that Tottenham were very impressive early on before their opposition were clinical. Is that just Graham Potter kind of playing or towing the line and saying what he should say, because he doesn't want to publicly come out and say, yes, we're right at them, but privately within the dressing room, will Graham Potter be telling his players, get stuck into them in those first 10 minutes, make it as intimidating as possible, get the crowd going, go in with some hard tackles and make it as tough as possible, because it will be a real test then and a real test of the Tottenham mettle that was criticised in that game in midweek?
Well, I think it is important that Brighton start the game positively and on the front foot, because that might raise doubts on the Tottenham side about how things might pan out. So, yeah, I think it is important that they start the game well. The crowd have been very supportive, actually, in that, and they have been unlucky in the home game so far. They really should have beaten West Ham. They were playing pretty well first half hour against Southampton until Florian Andoni got sent off, and still almost, you know, there was for long parts of that game they looked capable of getting something out of it. And then they conceded a very late goal at home to Burnley when it looked like they wrapped up the points. So their record at home this season so far under Graham Potter is a little bit unfortunate, not perhaps a fair reflection of how they've been playing at home. So I think the mood will still be positive, despite the fact that they're on a sort of six-match winless run since the opening day win at Watford. And, yeah, I think start the game positively. Put some doubts in the Tottenham players' minds.
Before we talk about the team news ahead of tomorrow's game, what is the feeling around Brighton fans at the moment? Because that first weekend of the season, they went to Watford, where obviously a lot was expected of Watford this season, and Brighton put in a fantastic performance, went for the kill, won 3-0. And people were wondering, wow, are we going to see a completely different Brighton? And as you said, it's been a winless run ever since. 6 points after the first seven games, just 1 point off the relegation zone. So what's the general feeling amongst Brighton fans at this moment in time?
I think they're still pretty upbeat, because they've seen most of the performances have been positive. For my money, last weekend at Chelsea was actually their worst performance under Graham Potter. I know it was Chelsea away, but they didn't quite perform at the levels they had been in previous game. The kind of narrative of the season so far has been that the performances have been pretty good, but they haven't quite managed to produce the results yet. And when you look at it now, you know, maybe that opening day win at Watford, if you look at how Watford have done subsequently, maybe the people got a bit carried away by that. So the real problem for them is the same as it's been since they were promoted. It's scoring goals. That's the big issue. You know, they've only scored twice in those six games, that six-match winless run. So they really need to find a way to start scoring goals.
In terms of then the team news for tomorrow's game, Brighton are boosted by the return of the likes of Solly March, Alireza Yahambakhsh and Liam Balogun. But David Proper is again doubtful. Leandro Trossard, Shane Duffy, Bernardo remain absent. Is that one of Graham Potter's biggest problems at the moment? Actually, this growing injury list where he's not able to pick from a mostly fully fit squad. He's having to pick from a squad without five or six first-team players.
They have had a lot of injuries, and certainly that made life really difficult when they lost at home in the Carabao Cup against Aston Villa. He fielded a very young side in that game because of the injuries. I think it's worth bearing in mind quite a few of those players that you've referred to have not actually been kind of starters anyway. so far for most of the games under Graham Potter. I think Solly March's return is quite important. You know, Solly set up the goal for Neil Mopay against Burnley. He's missed the last couple of games with a slight injury. Let's hope that he can provide something there. They certainly appear to be missing Leandro Trossard's creativity, but he won't be back until after the international break. He misses Spurs. So, it'd be good to see Solly back.
And just finally then, Andy, in terms of a prediction, do you think perhaps some people are thinking that Brighton are going to get something, or perhaps not taking into account how much Tottenham will be desperate for a reaction? Or do you think this is a point where Tottenham are in crisis at the moment? Off the field, on the field, things are not all well at Tottenham. And actually, at home at the Amex, early kickoff tomorrow, this is a terrific opportunity for Brighton, not just to get one point, but to potentially get all three.
Well, I think that's the way Brighton have got to look at it. You know, their overall record against those referred to as the Big Six clubs since they've been in the Premier League has not been great. Although they have got one or two results at the Amex, beat Arsenal and drew against Spurs on a previous occasion. They've certainly got to look at it that way. They've got to look at it as a chance to go into get a real confidence boosting win going into the international break. I think it'll be a close game in terms of the actual result, and it looks the sort of game where you would expect there to be goals, at least one goal for each team.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Andy. That was Andy Naylor, Brighton reporter for The Athletic, looking ahead to that game at the Amex tomorrow. Brighton against Tottenham. It's a 12:30 kickoff. It's a massive, massive game for Tottenham. What bottle will they show? Will they show, as Troy Deeney says, will they show the cojones tomorrow after a drubbing in midweek, an embarrassment for Tottenham losing 7-2 against Bayern Munich? How will they respond tomorrow? Plenty of managers are having their press conferences today. Mauricio Pochettino has had his. He's dismissed suggestions that he might quit. We're going to find a way to be successful again. He said he could even be in North London for another 5 years. A bit of Manchester United and Newcastle team news. He's that Anthony Martial and Paul Pogba are both out for Manchester United. Jesse Lingard is unlikely to play after injuring his hamstring as AZ Alkmaar. For Newcastle, they may welcome back Dwight Gayle from a calf injury. Alan Saint-Maximin is in contention to start, but Isaac Hayden has begun a 3-game ban after his red card against Leicester. From Manchester City's press conference, Pep Guardiola has confirmed that Kevin De Bruyne is out of the Wolves game with a groin injury that he picked up in their 3-1 win away at Everton last weekend. Jurgen Klopp has been having his press conference this afternoon. He has confirmed that Alisson is in contention for Liverpool tomorrow. He has been training this week, and so he does come into contention for the start against Leicester tomorrow. Obviously, injured his calf all the way back on the first day of the season against Norwich, and Adrian had to come in dramatic circumstances, having signed days previous to that. So Alisson is back into contention for that game against Leicester tomorrow. Joel Matip is probably unavailable for selection after missing the midweek game against Salzburg. Jordan Shaqiri remains out with a calf injury he suffered in training last month. James Maddison will be fit for tomorrow's game after an ankle injury forced him to miss the win over Newcastle. So plenty of news coming from the press conferences this afternoon. I'm sure we'll have more on that as the afternoon goes along, as managers have their press conferences and tell us who's going to play, who's not going to play, who's injured, who is fit enough to play. So we've had the likes of Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola and Mauricio Pochettino all speaking today. So I'm sure we'll have plenty more on that as the afternoon goes along. Up next is my favourite part of a Friday. It's Premier League prediction time.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so we want to hear from you. This afternoon, we're going to do my favourite part of a Friday afternoon. It is Premier League prediction time. 2:45 on a Friday. Nothing gets better than doing predictions with Laurie on a Friday afternoon. How are we this afternoon, Laurie? Looking forward to these predictions?
I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Not the predictions.
I think that I'll let you, it's your thing, isn't it? You live for it, so.
Yeah, I live for it. Yeah, I hardly spent any time on this before doing it. Right, let's get down to business. We also have, I mean, the man that covered me last week admirably was Charlie Hawkins, who, of course, you hear often on the fan shows, and he has sent in his predictions. So we'll give you his as we go along with our ones. We'll also have a special prediction right at the end. We'll do our 10 Premier League predictions. I will then go through BBC Sport football scores and I will just randomly pick something from absolutely middle of nowhere, probably, and a game that we've not prepared for, and I'll just pick it. Right. So that's what we're going to do. So, right, up first, 12:30 kickoff at the Amex Stadium. It's Brighton against Tottenham. I'll go first. I think this is a game that I'm tempted to say Brighton will win it, but I just don't think they'll do enough to get 3 points. So I'm going to go Brighton 1, Tottenham 1. Laurie, what are you going to go for?
I think you're wrong. I think there's been all this talk about Spurs. I think they'll come out and they'll boss it. I'm going 5-0 Tottenham.
5-0 Tottenham.
Also have terrible home record.
Well, I'm sure the Tottenham fans will be happy to hear that after a pretty miserable week. Mr. Hawkins has gone Brighton 2, Spurs 2. So he's gone the same result, just a different scoreline to me. Right, 3 o'clock. Burnley v Everton. Laurie, you can go first with this one. This is at Turf Moor.
I kind of think, again, Everton are getting such bad press. I kind of expect them to maybe surprise a few people. 2-1 Everton.
You're going to go 2-1 Everton. Charlie Hawkins has gone Burnley 1, Everton 1. I think Marco Silva, potentially by the end of the weekend, could be gone from his job. I'm going to go Burnley 2, Everton 0. So I think Marco Silva could be gone. Turf Moor, Sean Dyche. He just gets it done a lot of the time against average teams like Everton. Then, just a bit of reaction. We've got Charlie messaging me as we go along. So he's listening in at home and said 5-0 Spurs and 4 laughing/crying emoji faces. Quite clearly disagreeing with you. Could be before Christmas, this, which is in relation to the bet that he wanted to do with you about...
Sportsman's bet, we'll just say.
Sportsman's, yeah, obviously. Bet responsibly. But he'd be 18 points ahead of you by the time that we get to Christmas.
Because he started off 18 behind.
He didn't take up that bet. Anyway, on to Anfield. Liverpool versus Leicester.
I don't want to interrupt, but... although I've guessed 5-0 Everton, you both guessed a draw, 5-0 Spurs, you've both guessed a draw. So even if Spurs win 1-0, I'll get a point and you won't. So it's actually not that bad a prediction.
Yep. Well, if you want to do it like that, then fair enough. Right. So Liverpool, Leicester at Anfield. I'll give you what Charlie said. He said Liverpool 2, Leicester 2. Laurie, you go next. What are you going for?
I've done this because I want to see your face. We all heard the brilliant news last night that Shkodran Mustafi had secured a third clean sheet, which is more than Virgil van Dijk has this season. So I'm going to say Leicester 3, Liverpool 0.
Ridiculous.
That's a way win, 3-0.
Right. It's going to be Liverpool 3, Leicester 1. I think Leicester will score.
Yeah, because Liverpool can't keep a clean sheet.
We've proven over the last couple of years that we're the best defence in Europe. So perhaps a little bit of an overreaction from you, Laurie.
Two clean sheets this season. Horrific.
I mean, we're still only 7 games into the Premier League season. Anyway, we'll move on to the next one. Carrow Road, 3 o'clock. Norwich v Aston Villa. I'll go first with this one. I think, obviously, two promoted sides here. Quite a difficult game to predict. But I think this is the game where there is more pressure on Norwich. So you could argue that the pressure could get too much to them. But I think Norwich will get the better of Villa in this one. I think it'll be quite a tight game. I considered 3-1, but I'm going to go Norwich 2, Aston Villa 1. Charlie has gone with Norwich 1, Aston Villa 3. What are you going to go for, Laurie?
I'll go down the middle, draw 2-2.
2-2. So sitting on the fence, some nice splinters for you there, Laurie. Right.
It's not really sitting on the fence. I just think it's going to be a draw.
Yeah, well, you can put it anywhere you want, but it's still sat on the fence. Another 3 o'clock kickoff. Vicarage Road, Watford v Sheffield United. Mr. Hawkins has gone Watford 2, Sheffield United 1. Kike Sanchez Flores getting going. What are you going to go for, Laurie?
Similar, 2-0.
2-0 Watford?
Yeah.
I don't think they will get the win. Sheffield United have got a good away record at the start of this season. They've been impressed, actually more impressive, I think, away from home than they have been at home.
I just think at some point Watford have got to start picking up points.
You're going like a try and error. Like at some point they have to.
They're
going to
win a game
at some
point.
So right, I'm going to go Watford 1, Sheffield United 1. Final game on Saturday. We've got 4 Sunday games. Anyway, 5:30 at the London Stadium, West Ham against Crystal Palace. I've gone West Ham 3, Crystal Palace 0. I think West Ham, they made an impressive start. Fifth place in the Premier League table. Charlie has gone West Ham 2, Palace 2. Quite a high-scoring affair. I know that Dan Lawless went for 3-2 to West Ham. What are you going to go for, Laurie?
Yeah, see, everyone else's research clearly better than mine. I've gone for a close 1-0 for West Ham.
Close 1-0 game for West Ham. I suppose it depends.
I do think they'll be better. I think they'll probably be all over Palace at times. I just don't know if they'll take advantage quickly.
It'll be interesting to see how Crystal Palace set up, because you'd imagine Roy Hodgson will probably be quite pragmatic. He knows the threat that West Ham have in attack. So I suppose you can say it with a lot of games, but this game perhaps relies upon when or who scores the first goal. I think if Palace score, I think it could be 1-0 Palace, and I think it'd be a boring game and Palace will get all 3 points. If West Ham get a goal in, say, the opening 10 minutes, opens the floodgates. Then on to Sunday, Charlie's beloved Arsenal, they host Bournemouth. No surprise, Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 1.
Oh my goodness, that's exactly what I've got written here. And Charlie keeps getting in my face about, you know, about trying to be interesting and pick different scores. But, I mean, to be fair, if I did that for every single prediction that he made, then he would never overtake me. So maybe that's actually quite a good policy. So I'll stick with 3-1 as well.
You're going to go 3-1. I've gone Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2. Don't see a clean sheet, but I think Arsenal get the edge in terms of the goal fest. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang did get a rest in midweek. I'm sure fancy football owners will be desperate to get Aubameyang in with Arsenal's current run at the moment. Up to the Etihad, another 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon. Manchester City up against Wolves. I'm going to go Manchester City 4, Wolves 1. Again, I don't think Manchester City will keep a clean sheet. I think a lot of teams actually are looking a bit shaky defensively this season. But I think City will easily run out winners. We brought you the news, Kevin De Bruyne's out of Sunday's game with a groin injury. What are you going to go for, Laurie, at the Etihad?
Yeah, again, quite similar. I've gone for 4-2. I think there will be goals. I think Man City will concede. You know, Liverpool and Man City both look vulnerable at the back at the start of the season. Man City because of injuries, Liverpool because, well, there's just not the quality there. But I think
I'm not even going to respond to that. Like, it's just it's far too easy to not bite to that. Anyway, what's your prediction?
All right, no, yeah, 4-2.
4-2. It's going for a great game. If it's 4-2, hopefully it's 4-2 to Wolves, but it'll still be a great game. Charlie's gone 3-1 City. The penultimate game is Southampton up against Chelsea. Charlie has gone Southampton 1, Chelsea 3. I'm going to go Southampton 1, Chelsea 2. Although I was thinking about draw, but I've gone for Chelsea. What are you going to go for?
I've gone for Chelsea 4-0.
4-0 Chelsea.
Who's they've turned it on recently.
Tammy Abraham to get a few?
Yeah.
Tammy Abraham to get a few. You heard it here first. Knowing Laurie's predictions, it will probably be Southampton 2, Chelsea 0. 4:30. I wonder how Laurie Callis, the Newcastle fan, is going to predict St James's Park. Newcastle against Manchester United.
Well, funny enough, I was saying I'd be more confident if we were away at the moment, because I would not want to play in St James's, given what the atmosphere will be like. I heard someone say on the radio before it'll be a bit spicy because people will be against Bruce. It won't. It'll be apathetic. It'll be silent. It will be a horror. I really wouldn't want to go. So, having said that, I'd gone on the fan show to try and be a little bit optimistic. Went for a win.
Are you actually going to go for the same prediction on one show as you did the other?
No, I'm gonna go for a less. I said 2-0. I think I'm not gonna try and get it back. Even though I did successfully get the 5-0 last week. Anyway, I'm gonna say 1-0 because I liked Martin's idea before that Andy Carroll might come on right at the end and head as a winner.
I've gone Newcastle 2, Manchester United 1.
Seriously?
Charlie's gone the other way around. He's gone Newcastle 1, United 2. Right, here we go. The random fixture of the week is this. It is Osasuna against Villarreal.
Ooh.
What are you going to go for?
I can't remember if Osasuna are one of the ones that are kind of playing out of their skin near the top. I don't know. We can't do any research. I'm going to say Osasuna 2-1.
You're going to go Osasuna 2-1. I know for a fact Spanish away fans are so plastic. They literally don't travel. There's about 10 Villarreal fans that will probably be there. But I'm going to go for a Villarreal win. I'm going to go Osasuna 1, Villarreal 3. We'll wait with bated breath for Charlie Hawkins' prediction. I'll give you that when we come back
and
just a few moments in time. Exactly right. So that's it for the Premier League fan show. Thank you very much to producer Laurie there for his predictions obviously everyone will be waiting for Monday to come around when they find out how well, or in Laurie's case, badly, they've done with their predictions.
This is Love Sport.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.